These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
And this evening we open the second Sefer of the Torah, Sefer Shemos, and we've already in past Shiurim indicated that this is a Sefer which is known by various titles. The Baal Halachos Gedolos calls it Chumash Sheni, the Ramban refers to it as Sefer HaGeulah. And these are items, as I say, which we have looked at in the past. One of the problems which faces the Meforshim at the very beginning of our Sefer is the fact that there is information conveyed which has already been given to us in Parshas Vayigash. The names of the various people who came down and the number of the people who came down. And as I say, the Meforshim therefore raise the question as to why it is that this information is mentioned yet again. This evening we will look very briefly, there is a short comment of the Rashbam. And the Rashbam says that the reason why the general details are mentioned yet again is mipnei sherotze lefaresh velomar, because the Torah wants to tell us shortly that as soon as Yosef and his brothers and all that generation died, uvenei Yisrael poru vayishkirtu vayirvu vayatmu v'meyod meyod, that the Bnei Yisrael started to propagate at an extraordinary rate. And since we want to compare and contrast the number of souls who came down so that we should appreciate the enormous development quantity-wise of Bnei Yisrael, is hutzrach lichpol velomar, therefore it was necessary for the Torah to repeat and to tell us that b'viyosom l'mitzrayim, that when they came to Mitzrayim, lo hoyu elo shivim, that there was only 70 all told, v'yachar mos hadorahu, and when that generation died, poru v'yishretzu, then the increase in population began. So in other words, as far as Rashbam is concerned, the purpose of this introduction to Sefer Shmos is so that we should be reminded that whereas we came down to Mitzrayim with 70, that's all we were, when we left, we were already in our millions, so that we should be able to understand exactly what it is that happened. In other words, it wasn't what one would call the normal tradition of things. In fact, this Rashbam put me in mind of a comment of the Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. As you know, at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, we deal with a census of the Jewish people. And the Ramban mentions the following. Velo havinosi tam hamitzvah hazot, lomo tzivo bo hakodesh baruch. Says the Ramban, I don't know why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to take a census. Ki haya tzorech sheyis yachsu l'shivteihem bavur hadegolim. Certainly, we had to arrange them in tribes so that they would be able to be beside their appropriate standards as they camped and as they traveled in the wilderness. Avol yediyas hamispor lo yodati lomot tzivor sheyedu oso. But that we should know the numbers, that's something which I find puzzling. Then he says, Ulai, I suggest that maybe the reason for the census is Lehodi Om Chasdo Aleihem, to remind the Jewish people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed, Ki Beshivim Nefesh Yoredu Avoseihem Mitzrayimah, to remind us that whereas originally we came down with 70 souls, V'yato Heim Kechol Hayom, and now they have become in a space of 210 years as numerous as the sand by the sea, kach v'kach b'nei yestrim, so many from the age of 20 and upwards. So whereas the Rashbam suggests that the emphasis on the Shivim Nefesh is the reason why we have the introductory section of Sefer Shemos, the Ramban suggests that the entire census, which took place shortly after they left Mitzrayim, was to emphasize the same theme, that from 70 became a population of millions. Second section of the Parsha. Vayokom melech chodosh al Mitzrayim, Asher lo yoda es Yosef posukes. And here is a Rashi which we have looked at before, and we will see that there are certain new insights to be gleaned through the eyes of the Maskil Ledoid. Vayokom melech chodosh, which we will translate as a new king arose in Egypt who knew not Joseph. Says Rashi, Vayokom melech chodosh, Rabu Shmuel. There is a well-known machloket between two rabbis at the beginning of the Talmudic period, Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omar Chodosh Mamish. One says the king was Chodosh, the Chad Omar, and another says Shenis Chadishu Gizeloso. He's not new, his decrees are new. So Rashi offers two interpretations of Chodosh. And then the last part of the Pasuk, Asher lo yoda es Yosef, Rashi offers one interpretation. What is Asher lo yoda es Yosef? Oso atzmo ki'ilu lo yoda. He made himself as if he doesn't know. So here we have a look at the masculine David, who will explain to us his perception of what is puzzling Rashi, and how Rashi explains and answers his problems, al pi pshuto shel mikra. Says the masculine of Perush, I understand Rashi as follows. Koshelela Rashi. Rashi has a problem in the posuk, demai loshen chodosh. What is this expression chodosh? Shalom motzinu kein b'shum mokom. We don't find an expression of this type anywhere else. Melech chodosh? Havelei lomar, the Torah should have said, Melech Acher, another king. Why did the Pasuk say Melech Chodosh? That is what is puzzling Rashi, the word Chodosh. Vilokach mitareis, and therefore Rashi explains, Demikoach diuk milozu, that because there was a difference of opinion as to exactly what the word Chodosh is used for in this Pasuk, Nolad machlokes Rav Shmuel. A machlokes occurs in perception of this word between Rav and Shmuel. Now, how do we understand their understanding? Chad Omar Chodosh Mamish. One says, and this is the words in Rashi, that he was Chodosh Mamish. Now, what do I mean by that? Shelozu b'levad shohoyo melech acher. It means, according to this opinion, not only that he is a new king, another king, Elohoyo gamkein chodosh mamish kelomar bochur bashonim. He is a new king? No, not new. Chodosh, says the masculine David in Rashi, means he is a fresh king. Young. And that is why v'haynu asher lo yodai es Yosef. That is why he doesn't know Yosef. The imlo kein. Because the understanding is that if it were not so, afilu yihye melech acher, if he was just another king, heichel lo yodas Yosef, how come he doesn't know of Joseph? Hallo Yosef, hoyo yodu alachol mitzrayim, shekulam nitzrichu lo b'shenei horol. Everybody would know who Yosef is. So therefore, avol lefi ho'omor, but according to the way we are understanding it, nicha, we now can explain why it is that this melech chodosh does not know Yosef. Shahoya oz koton velo yoda mide, because he is so young, he has not been initiated into the annals of Egyptian history. So chodosh, says the masculine David in Rashi, does not mean a new king. Chodosh means he is a young king. And that is why Asher lo yada es Yosef. The Ikeman de Yomar, and there are others who suggest the other opinion, the Mishum Hochi Kisiv Chodosh velo Acher, that there is a different reason why it says Chodosh and not Melech Acher. Lomar, to suggest, to who, and it's not another king, Eloshen is Chadishu Gezeiro Saul, but he is the old king who has changed his decrees and appears to be a different person. Now, what happens here is as follows, says the masculine adult. If you accept this interpretation, that Chodosh means a young king who is too young to know, and the other explanation of Jenis Chadishu Gezeirosov is that it's the old king, but he has changed his ways, then we have a problem. Because Asher lo yoda es Yosef. We only have one suggestion in Rashi. In reality, if we accept that Chadosh is a young king, then Asher lo yoda es Yosef is exactly as it says. Hitaka doesn't know. The also Atzmok Hila lo yoda is only therefore going according to the second interpretation. And that is a little difficult, says the Maskil David, because there is no indication in Rashi's second comment that is going only according to one of the interpretations in the previous section. Therefore, he offers a different interpretation in Rashi. Inami Yeshlomar, or we can say like this, demand Yomar Chodosh Mamish, that the rabbi who holds that the word Chodosh means Mamish Chodosh, wrote Sel Omar would like us to understand as follows. The Tate Shomanami Milas Chodosh, that the word Chodosh according to him means two things. Shehoyo Melech Acher, he is a different king than the previous one. Vishalo Hoyo Dome Lo Rishon, Elo Chodosh Mamish Legamre. Says the masculine David, my second interpretation is as follows. The word Chodosh is used so that you should understand that it is not only another king who has come to the throne, but it is a new type of king. Melech Chodosh, a new type of king. Kolomar meaning, She'eino miteva horishon. He's not a king like the old one, Shehoyo ohev beiso shel Yosef. He's not like the previous kings who all loved Yosef and appreciated what he had done for Egypt. This is a new type of king. A king with new attitudes. A king with new character. So now, says the Maskil David, with this interpretation of Chodosh, we are able to suggest that Rashi's comment on Asher lo yoda es Yosef goes on both. Asa es atzmo ki ilu lo yoda. Ulefize mashakosuv achakach asa atzmo, etc. Asa lechuli alma. That will be an interpretation which follows both. Either he is a king with a new type of character, whereas the previous kings loved Yosef, this one doesn't like him. Or shenis chadashu gezeilo sov means, not that he was different in character, but that the decrees which were instituted took no cognizance of what Yosef, the ancestor of this people, had done for the benefit of Mitzrayim. And both of these interpretations will have to come on to Rashi's comment on Asher lo yoda es Yosef, meaning not that he didn't know him, but made as if he didn't know him. And that goes according to both. And so it appears in the language of Rashi, namely, that the second interpretation, Asher lo yoda es Yosef, would appear to be an interpretation which goes according to both Rav and Shmuel in the previous section. Now what happens? Vayomer el amo, and he says to his people, Hinei am b'nei Yisroel rav v'yotzum mimenu. Now this is a phrase which has puzzled most commentators. At this particular moment in time, it is difficult to understand Rav v'otzum mimenu. To translate it literally, it would mean they are more and mightier than us. That's strange. Because the next pasuk says, we've got to deal wisely with the people, pen yirbeh, lest they multiply. So if they're already rav mimenu, so what's this pen yirbeh? Lest they multiply. So this is a problem which is tackled by the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And I mentioned before and I mention again, the Or HaChaim is long, he is not long-winded. And here I would like to take a number of observations of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and we will see that they are all most relevant to our understanding of the story. In the old Mikros Gedolos, it's not at the beginning of his comment, in the old Mikros Gedolos, it's on page 8, about 4 lines from the top of the right-hand column, and in the new editions of the Mikros Gedolos, it's on the second paragraph. What are these words, Rav v'yotzum mimenu? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Od yirtzeh v'yomro hinei am b'nei yisil Rav v'yotzum mimenu, al zeh haderech. I would like to explain these words in the following way. What Pharaoh is saying to his people is, Ki am ze, you should know, he says, that this people, Mishune Mikol Ho'amim, they are different than all other nations. Why? Ki Sha'ar Ho'amim Yis'arevu Beinehem. All other nations in the ancient world, they were combinations of various peoples who were living in one country. V'ein lecho am she'ein bo taruvos gadol mikamo amim. And there is no nation, says Pharaoh to his people, who are not a composite of many peoples with various loyalties, with various characteristics. Asher lo kein am Yisrael, which is not the case in regards to the people of Israel. And that is what Pharaoh meant when he said, Hine am Bnei Yisrael. We are dealing with a people who are exclusively Bnei Yisrael. The Ein Zor Itom, and there are no strangers amongst them. And this is a characteristic that we have got to be concerned with. Why? The Omrah. This is what Pharaoh meant when he said, they are an Am Bnei Yisrael. Since they are a people which is exclusive, they are not a composite. The truth of the matter is, that makes them Rav Yotzum. Perush meaning, Ki Be'em Tzohus Heyosom Am Echad U'Miyuchad. Since they are one united nation, Hagam She'yihiyu Me'atim Be'erech She'ar Ha'umot. And even though they are smaller in number than any other nation, from the military point of view, they are the equivalent of more and mightier even than us. Because since they are just one nation, each member of that people will give his soul and his life for his brother. And this is an aspect which is known to those people who have to lead armies to war. That whereas they may be smaller in number, but when they are bonded together, then they can take on nations which may be larger in size, but where there are disparate groups, and you cannot depend on the unity of a larger composite group, and therefore compared to us, who are consisting of many nations and many peoples, says Pharaoh, they are the equivalent of Rav the Otsum. That's the first interpretation. Odirze, another suggestion I would like to make in regards to Rav Yotsum, meaning Rav, not that they are more. Rav means they are multiplying. Shemisrabe shelo kederach ha'olam. They are multiplying at an extraordinary rate. Now, fine, Lina Rav, that in itself would not be a problem. They are propagating 6 at a time, 5 at a time, 4 at a time. Vehine mi teva ho'olam. The problem, says Pharaoh, is not only that they are multiplying, but it is part of nature. Kasher yivoladu rabim yihiyu tishei koach. That when a woman gives birth to many children at the same time, they are usually weaker than if there was just one child born. Bein bebechinas hanoladim, bein bebechinas hamolid. Both from the point of view of the children who are brought into the world, and from the point of view of the weakening that takes place in the mother. Seyulamad mehataomim ki yadu alatidim. And the proof, of course, is the Orachaim HaKadosh is twins. They are never as vibrant the moment they are born as a child who is born on its own. Umeyata. So you might have thought, since they're giving birth to so many children, no, ein meichus leribuyam, ki so famli hismayei, v'chi yihye rabi mein behem koach lechus leribuyam. You might have thought that since they are multiplying at such an amazing rate, you can forget about them because they're almost probably weak children. Because they're being born, what, 6 at a time? No. Loze omar. That is why Pharaoh went on to say, Rav, yes, they are propagating at an extraordinary rate, but the problem with the Jewish people is that even though they are propagating, it's the Yotzum. Each child who is born is the Yotzum. Perush meaning, Hagam Shehem Yisrabim B'Yosem Horogil, even though they are propagating in an abnormal way, Afal Bichay, nevertheless, each and every single one of these children is the otsum mimenu. So the word mimenu doesn't go on Rav. The word mimenu goes on the yotsum. Hine am b'nei Yisrael, they are Rav, they are propagating. And secondly, the otsum mimenu, each one of those children, is stronger than any of ours who are born on their own. Hagam she'ein bohem horibui. Even though they haven't got, even though we haven't got these multiple births, each one of those Jewish children is stronger than any of ours. Umin horo'ui. Heim ru'uyin lihiyos chazokim yosem mehem. Truth of the matter is, Egyptian children should have been stronger than theirs. Umeyato. But since it is not so, they are propagating at an abnormal rate, and they are nevertheless still stronger than us. Now, behechrech lihischa came alav. We have to do something about the Jewish problem. And according to this interpretation, which I am suggesting, number two, the word mimenu, choseres el otsum, it is a word which is referring only to otsum. They are not rav mimenu, because rav here does not mean many. It means they are propagating. It's the otsum mimenu. Each one of them is stronger than us. The lowly yomro rav. No, it doesn't say rav mimenu. And in fact, if you accept this interpretation, you will be able to understand why the word Rav can appear in this pasuk, because it refers to the fact that they are propagating. Doesn't mean that they are more than we are. And that's the reason why in the next pasuk it says, Ten year bear, lest they will increase, implying that they have not as yet increased. And you couldn't reconcile that with the Rav Mimenu, if that's the way Mimenu is supposed to be construed. Then he offers explanation number three, a most subtle interpretation. I would like to suggest a different interpretation for Rav Yotzum Mimenu. Perush meaning, Shegedulosom veribuyom mehem. Their plentiful number and their might is Mimenu. On our cheshbon. Where did they become so plentiful? Who kept them alive? Where did they come to in years of famine to be sustained? That is what it means. The hakavona bozeh, ki bole hodiya osom, in order so that Pharaoh can inform his advisors whom he is assembling, ki yesh lohem chov v'yisroel, that they've got debts to call in for the Jewish people. V'niskavein lahakdim tana. And according to this interpretation, Pharaoh is anxious to put forward this idea, Leval Yomru Elov Amo O Kol Roema Sov Nochrim, so that those people who see the terrible things that he is going to initiate and will turn around and say to this Pharaoh, how can you do these terrible things to the Jews? How can you make them slaves? How can you persecute them? You will say to Pharaoh, how can you take a people who's living amongst you and all of a sudden overnight turn them into slaves? That is why Pharaoh has to get in first before the Havon is Chakmolo. And he has to say, Hine am b'nei Yisrael, ze atzmo u besoro mishelonu hei. That's why he has to say, you know these people? The fact that they are alive, they owe their lives to us. They owe their existence to our people, to our country, to our nation. We were the ones who kept them alive during years of famine. And the fact that they have become many, even at this stage, all thanks to the good Egyptians. Because you wouldn't remember, but my Zayda told me they only came down with 70 people, says Pharaoh. And therefore this is a comment which Pharaoh makes in order to guarantee that his advisors will be quiet when he introduces his plans for the final solution. Using the Talmudic phraseology, and now Pharaoh will be able to take hold of the Jewish people legitimately, the Ishakmu Lola so slow, Kato Behem, and will therefore decide what to do with them as it appears seemly in their eyes. So the Rav Yotza means however many they are, and however wealthy they are, and however mighty they are, it's me, Manu. It's on our cheshbon. And that gives us the entitlement to do whatever we want to them, because were it not for us, they would have been dead centuries ago. It's a very, very subtle comment. So, the various measures are introduced, and we are not going to embarrass each other by going over the various episodes as they are recounted. Let us just go down to the end of the Perek, Posuk Kafes. Vayitzav paro lechol amo lemor. All of a sudden, the final decree comes. We've already had the business with the midwives, etc. Now comes the final decree. Vayitzav paro lechol amo lemor. And Pharaoh commands all his people, saying, Kol haben ayilod hayoro taslichu. Every son that is born, throw him into the river. Kol avat zechayun. And every daughter you can keep alive. Okay. Let's have a look at Rashi. Vayitzav paro lechol amo lemor. Says Rashi, af aleihem gozar. He made the decree even over his own people. Right? Why? Because Yom Shenolad Moshe. This was the day on which Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Omru lo itstagnino. And his astrologer said to him on that day, Hayom Nolad Moshion. Today the Savior of the Jewish people has been born. V'ein onu yodim im mi Mitzrayim im mi Yisrael. But we don't know whether he's born to an Egyptian mother or we don't know if he's born to a Jewish mother. We'll have a look and we'll see where they got their degree in astrology soon. But they don't know. We know that he's born. Born today. But we don't know whether he's born to a Jewish mother or an Egyptian mother. Interessant. V'roin onu, and we see further, shesofo lil kosh b'mayim. Then in the end he's going to come to grief by water. Okay? Is lefikoch gozar oso hayom af al hamitzriyim. Therefore Pharaoh made a decree even on his own people on that day. Shenemar, because the verse supports me, says Rashi, because the pasuk says, kol haben hayilod, every son who is born. The lo nomar, it doesn't say every son who is born hayilod lo ibrim, who is born to the Hebrews. And they knew he was going to come to a bad end by water. And therefore they thought he was going to be drowned and that's it. But they didn't know that when it says in the stars, quote unquote, he was going to come to grief through water, it meant he was going to come to grief through the waters of Meimariva, whereby he would not be allowed to fulfill his life's ambition of going into Eretz Yisrael and would die in the womb. Now, a bit of a problem here. These are astrologers who have the ability to look into the future. They see the sofo, little coast by Mayim. But they can't see the present, really. They can't see whether it's an Egyptian mother or whether it's a Jewish mother. Well, what's the source of their confusion? I came across a Maharal which is absolutely mesmerizing. Lefi shera'u itstagnine paro. Because the astrologers of Pharaoh saw that today the Savior of the Jews has been born, and we don't know, is it a Jewish mother, is it an Egyptian mother? Follow carefully, please. The kosher. Says the Maharal, I've got a problem here. Achar shera'u shehayom nolad bein sheyoshi alohem. If they are able to see in the stars that a son has been born who will deliver them, is kol sheken sheyuchlu liros imme Yisrael, imme hamitzriyim. I would have imagined they should have the vision to be able to see whether it's an Egyptian mother or whether it's a Jewish mother. The Yirelin. Have a look at the text. So I would like to suggest the reason for their confusion is this one. It appears to me, Mipanesha Bas Paro Gidlo. Well known that Pharaoh's daughter reared him. Umipanei Cain, and because of that, Nikro Ben Levas Paro, he is known in Divrei Hayomim in the Book of Chronicles as the son of Basya, who is the daughter of Pharaoh. Kitachsiv Divrei Hayomim, Elebene Basya, Yered, and Yered is none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the confusion of the astrologers. They couldn't work out who he was born from. In the Yisrael, is it a Jewish mother? Oh, it's just difficult. Why? Shaharei Nikro Ben Labat Perek, because there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, which calls him the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The Gamlo, Imi Mitzrayim, who did it? Noah, maybe it's an Egyptian mother. Because on the other hand, Mipanesha Yoldovo, so you'll have it. Because the truth of the matter is, he came from a Jewish womb. Below Hoyom Molehu, it's Dagninos, Loshahum, Yisrael, Loshahum, Mitzrayim. And that was the reason for that confusion. Shaharemi Moshe Lomdi, because in reality it is from Moshe Rabbeinu that the rabbis learn the maxim. That a person who rears a child in his own house is considered as if he has given birth to it. You believe that? On the one hand, he's delivered from a Jewish womb, but the source of the confusion is a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. What's going on here? Maharal, that's it. That's the Maharal. I haven't cut out anything. That's it. The astrologer's got a confusion with that pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, with that Gemara in Megillah that you give along with Aleph. What's going on? The Maharal lays down in this Rashi a Yesod Niskof. Istakel v'yoraisa u'bora el. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world. The entire cosmos echoes the Torah. A din in Torah is not a law in a book. Torah, says the Maharal, is the ultimate natural law. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and saw the world, created the world, then the astrologers look into the world and see the Torah. That's the way it goes. Istakel v'yoraisa u'bora el. The world was created according to the blueprint of the Torah. So the astrologers look, and it's not the Gemara in Megillah which says. It's the law in the cosmos. Kol ha'megadol yosom v'soch v'esof ge'ilu yelodo. It's not, quote unquote, two lines in the Shulchan Aruch. The whole hashamayim misafrim kavodah. The whole universe is echoing with every law of the Torah and every law of the Derabbanan even. As Rabbi Yehoshua Heller points out in the Sefer Migdalos, how did the Obos discover Torah? They looked into the world and they discovered Torah. Got a problem? Fine, I can understand this. Stakil v'yoraisa u'bora alma. So you look into the world and you discover Torah. Because since Torah is the blueprint of the world, you look into the world and you discover Torah. It's a two-way traffic. A bit of a problem, the Migdalos. Why? Because it says, and Rashi brings it in Parshas Toldos, that Avraham Avinu kept even the Rabbanans, even Erev Tavshilin. Where did he get that from? That's not the Yoraisa. Says the Migdalos, we are forced to conclude. But Istakel v'yoraisa u'bora alma, that not only is the cosmos echoing with dinim d'yoraisa, but with dinim d'rabbanan as well. They're all part of the universe. And that's what the Maharal is talking about. On the one hand, he sees there is a mother from the Jewish people, and on the other hand, and because of the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, and because of the Gemara in Megillah, he sees that the mother is Egyptian. Because where they look, they see ultimate reality. And ultimate reality are the dinim of the Torah. That is why in last week's Sedra, Yaakov Avinu lo meis, says the Gemara. Yaakov didn't die. Says the Gemara. Aye, it says, Vayachantu also, they embalmed him. Somebody once asked, one of the Rosh Hashivas asked, why didn't they ask in the Gemara, what do you mean he didn't die? Has anybody ever met him? The answer is, because the ultimate reality is Torah. And if it says in Torah, Vayachantu Oso, that's the best kasha you can ever get. That you didn't meet him. But he doesn't come to your shtiebel, that's no problem. That the Torah says, Vayachantu Oso, you can't be deader than that. That's the ultimate reality. That's what Torah is. And this is a Maharal, I suggest, which is something well worth pondering over. One of the gold mines in our parish. We move on. What I want to look at now, and there are a number of items which you haven't as yet had an opportunity to look at, but I want to go through something. It'll take us a little while, but I believe it is well worth it. Usually, as you know, my practice is I take one comment from a Meforesh, and we have a look.
But there are occasions, and this is one of them, where I would respectfully suggest it will pay us to follow through the Netziv in this particular area, and I do suggest that we will glean some beautiful insights. The burning bush, exactly what it represents, and the correct understanding of the text. I mean, we're after, all the time in the shiurim, we're after text and scenes. We want to know what the text is saying, and the tragedy is that so many times we know the text from the English translation. And therefore we lose our perception of what the Torah is saying because we don't go back to the sources and we don't look at the language per se. Let us have a look at the psukim and then we'll have a look at the nitzim. Pei de gimel posel beis. Vayero malach Hashem elov velabas eish mitoch hasne vayah vihine hasne boer boesh vahasne einenu ukol. Vayome Moshe osturonov yere samare hagodol hazeh madu elo yival hasne. Vayara Hashem kisor liros, vayikro elov elo kimitoch hasne, vayome Moshe Moshe vayome hine. Let us now have a look at the nitzim. And don't despair. Vayero malach Hashem elov. And the angel appears, Elov, says the Netziv. The word Elov is saying something to us. Meaning, Beyichud Lo. Elov means only to him. The difference between Lo and Elov. Lo means to him. Elov means only to him. Implication being that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he is with the sheep of Yisro, is together with lots of other people. So we conjure up a picture that there's Moshe Rabbeinu all on his lonesome, and I got his brother who appears to him, says the Netziv, it's not true. V'yichud lo, ki hayu imo od mishoresim v'yavdei Yisro. Because he had together with him many people to help him. Avolo hisra'eh ho'inyin rakelo. But it only appeared to him. And the Medrash Rabbah says exactly the same thing and says that it's if the deal from the Medrash is from the word Elov. Now, so the first thing we know about the burning bush that we didn't know before is that Moshe Rabbeinu is in the company of many people, but the vision comes only to him. Now, next section. Belavas Eish Mitoch Hasneh, which we would translate as in a flame of fire, mitoch hasneh, from the midst of the snare. Now, says the Netziv, these words mitoch hasneh are strange. Why? Because min hasneh, o mial hasneh, me boy. It should have said that the flame is coming from the bush or from above the bush. In other words, it would appear if the bush is on fire that the whole bush is on fire. So it should have said the Labas Eish min hasneh, from the bush. Elopeinush mitoch hasneh, but the word mitoch hasneh means me emsa hasneh dafke velo mitzdodei hasneh. That the flame has taken hold of the middle of that bush. As it says, v'yetz hachayim v'soch hagon. What Moshe Rabbeinu noticed was as follows. Ra'o he saw. Shebesoch hasneh lahavas eish chozok ve'oz kederach ho'eish b'shor sh'ne'echaz b'tokvo. He saw a flame of fire burning firstly. U'mikol mokom, but one thing that he couldn't understand. It's eino ela v'toch hasneh. The flame has seized on the middle of the bush. Ve'anfei hasneh mikan ukan shaleimim. But outside the middle, everything is fine. V'ho eish eino nogea bohem. And the fire is not spreading. So that's the first thing you have to know. The lavas eish mitoch hasneh, the bush is not on fire. That's the second thing you know. What is on fire? The center of the bush. But outside the center, there is no problem whatsoever. Now, what did he see? Vayar vihine hasne boer boeish vahasne einenu ukol. Right, so you and I would have translated these words, and he saw, and behold, the bush is burning with fire. Says, and it's it, but I've just told you, the bush is not burning with fire. The middle of the bush is burning with fire, but nothing else. So what do we mean when we say, vayar vihine hasne boer boeish vahasne einenu ukol? Says, then it's it. Follow, please. His perception of language is masterful. Im nefaresh, if we are to explain, shahasne dolek v'eino nechol, that what puzzles Moshe Rabbeinu is the fact that the bush is burning and not being consumed. Ein meduyok haloshon einenu ukol. Then the Torah would not have said, v'hasne einenu ukol. It should have said, einenu ne'echol, is not being consumed. V'su, and furthermore, you cannot say that the words bo'er bo'esh means the bush is burning in fire, because in the next pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I've got to go aside and discover, madua lo yivar hasne, why is the bush not burning? So bo'er bo'esh cannot mean burning in fire. Because Moshe Rabbeinu would then not have said, I've got to turn aside and discover why the bush is not burning. If bo'er bo'esh means it's burning in fire, what do you mean, madua lo yivar hasne? V'hoyo lo lomar, madua lo nechal hasne. Should have said, rather, it is burning, but I don't know why it is not being consumed. Elo ha-perush, says the Netziv, we are forced to conclude, shera'ah, that he saw, shahasosne bo'er bo'esh. Shat is, not that the bush is being consumed in fire, but that the bush is consuming the fire. It is the fire that is being extinguished, despite the fact that the entire bush has as yet not been consumed. V'hine hasne bo'er bo'esh. The amazing thing is that the bush is burning up the fire. The fire is getting smaller. And I would have thought the only reason why the fire should get smaller is that it's got nothing else to consume. But lo and behold, v'hasne einenu ukol. The bush is not already consumed. So why is the fire going out? That's what he saw. Hainu shahasne michale esoesh. What he saw was that the bush is consuming the fire. Shero mitechila belabas. Firstly, he saw this flame in the midst of the bush. Ukerega nase hoesh cholosh miyat miyat. And all of a sudden he starts to see the flame getting dimmer and dimmer. V'ein peirush hasne bo'er bo'esh, come over ha'hor bo'er bo'esh. And therefore the words hasne bo'er bo'esh is not, as it says in connection with Har Sinai, that the mountain is consumed in fire. Because the shimush beis mora pam b'mokum es, u'pam b'mokum im. So what we are suggesting here is, v'yar v'inei hasne bo'er bo'esh, he sees that the bush is consuming the fire. The fire is dwindling. And yet, the amazing thing is, v'hasne einenu ukol, meaning, she'im hoya hasne ukol b'shleimus machmas labas eish shirav techila. Had the bush been consumed in its entirety because of the fire which he saw in the middle of the bush, nicha, then he would understand, masha achakei nase ho'esh kolosh. Why, the flame is getting smaller. Why, shaharei shuv eilo b'mali hislahevave, because there's nothing more for the fire to catch on to. Aval harei hasne mishnei tzidadov hukayom. But the bush from outside is fine, complete. V'yim kein, if that is so, hoyo derech shal heves, it should have been with the flame, shera'o v'soy chasne yehenech az gam bitzdodov v'yigdal eud o'esh. So what should have happened had it been conforming to laws of nature? The fire should have spread. V'yim kein, if so, ho sheho esh nase cholosh. If it is that the flame is getting weaker, al korchenu, we must conclude, sheteva hasnehu mechale esoesh, that it is the bush which is devouring the flames, the hu pele, and that is wondrous. Is vehine ra Moshe shteiriyim. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw two things. Number one, ra lavaseish mitech hasneh, he saw fire inside the bush. And the question that arises in his mind is, how did the fire get there? He didn't see anybody light it. Okay? Vim came, so therefore, his bonein shehu mare alokus, he saw that it was a godly vision. That's number one. Vera od hapera hashniya. And the second item which came, got his attention, is sheho eish nivchas mi'at mi'at below tam al pi hateva. And what he doesn't understand is not that the fire seems to have got there on its own, but that the fire is going out. And there's nothing to put the fire out. The fire is not consuming the bush. The bush is consuming them. The gamma hard to deceive, and furthermore, since it says Vayero Elov Balach Hashem, Hare Mivuor Shehevin Ki Humalach Nirov Ozeh Hatsura, Kedei Lelam Dobi. So Moshe Rabbeinu decides he's got to go and have a look. Madu Alo Yivar Asner, why the bush is not burning? On the contrary, why is it that the flame is diminishing? And what is the symbolism? That is why the next pasuk says, Osur Ono V'yereh Samareh HaGadol Hazeh, Madu Alo Yivar Asner. Why is it that the Tzdoveh Hasneh, the sides, the outside of the bush is not being consumed? Madua Einu Nechaz Oish Sebetuch Gamest Tzdoveh Hasneh. Why is the flame inside the bush not spreading outward? Is Vihineh Al-Hori Orishon Alo Sol Yeros Madua Dolekes Hasneh Eish Basneh Vodomein Lahadlikes Havoro? Truth of the matter is, the fact that there is fire in the midst of the bush alone would not have excited his attention. Why? Because that he understands. Ki hevin, because he understands. Shehubola haroso, that the fire inside the bush, what does it come to symbolize? Sheesh hadin ugezeras hamalucha lova ubo'ora v'soch hasne shehein amo v'yechov hashvelim v'nit koim. Because he understands that the symbolism of the flame burning in the midst of the bush is to symbolize the suffering that is taking place amongst his people, and which is claiming lives. They are being beaten into the ground. So much so, that when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Parshas Shemos, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Moshe Rabbeinu says, but what are you going to do for the hundreds of thousands who have already died? Atosireh, Asherah, Selepharoh. So if you want to know what the symbolism of the fire inside the bush, fine. That symbolism is not a problem. Because that symbolizes the suffering of the Jewish people and the fact that many lives have been claimed through their suffering and through their slavery. What his problem is, Omnom al-Horeiyo Hashniyo. But in regards to the second aspect of the scene, Lo Yochola Havligas Rucham, he can't understand. Liros, Eich Hagezeros Kalos Venivchosos. How come that the decrees get weaker and the people remain? That's a mystery. That the decrees are claiming Jewish lives, that he understands because he sees it every day and every hour. What he doesn't understand, what is symbolized by the fact that the bush is consuming the fire, what is the pshat? That the people are going to vanquish those who have made decrees against them. That they are going to win. How is it going to happen? I mean, here is Pharaoh. He has the entire people enslaved. On and on and on and on. And all of a sudden the symbolism of the bush is that the decrees are not going to chas v'sholom destroy the people. The people are going to prevail over the decrees. V'im hoyo ro'er she'Yisrael kalim chas v'sholom. Had he seen the bush go up in its entirety in flames, which was the symbolism of the Jewish people chas v'sholom being totally destroyed, lo hoyo tamo, he wouldn't understand, he wouldn't question. Madua Hagazero shocked you. Why is it that the decrees have quietened down? Because there's no Jews to make the decrees on. That wouldn't have puzzled him. Shaharei ein od al milachul, because there's nobody to whom the decree will apply. V'chol ma'ashi Yisrael nifchosim v'holichim kach Hagazeros nismatim. And the less Jews there are, the less the decrees will be, because there's only a few left. Aval ra'oh. But what puzzled him was he saw Shehoesh kolov v'nifchas b'litam, that the fire is going out. The Yisrael amo einom kalim klal, and the Jewish people are there, and the decrees are not going to get the better of them, but vice versa. V'im kein heich yihiyu hagezeros kalim. So therefore he is asking, how come that the gezeros are going to be extinguished? V'zehu hasha'ela. That is Moshe Rabbeinu's question. Madua lo yivar asneh. Why doesn't the entire bush erupt in flames? Umi ma'akev lemalchus lechalos es Yisrael chasmi. And what is preventing the Egyptian decrees from exterminating the entire people? Ubikesh lir'os basneh. And that is why he wanted to look into the bush to discover mi ma'akev shehoesh lo yeheneh chos basneh. What is preventing the fire from spreading? Umizeh yovin. And from that he will discover, Mi monea lechalos es Yisrael.
how come the Jewish people are not going to be destroyed.
So what did he see? The Pasuk says, Vayikra Elav Elokim Mitoch Hasneh. Hashem calls to him Mitoch Hasneh. What is the symbolism of that? Says the Netziv. Hashem calls to him Mitoch Hasneh. May Oso Hamakom Sheh Halabas Eish Shom Misham Kiro'o Elokim. When the Torah says that the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him, Mitoch Hasneh, says the Netziv, it comes to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice is coming dafka from the place where the fire is. It's not coming from the bush. It's coming from the flame. Mitoch Hasneh. What is the symbolism there? Ochein hera bozeh. The symbolism is Shekira'o min hamakom shelabas eish shom, that the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls from the place where the fire is, lahaskilo, so that a Moshe Rabbeinu should understand, there's a big chidush here, shahashgachoso shora gam bimekom hamalchus v'hagezeros lahatosom v'lechoz beresen kishahashor tzeri. We normally think that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects our people, the Goyim do what they do, the Goyim design whatever machinations they want to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a protective aura around his people. That's the way we understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works to defend us. Says the Netziv, it is not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us by going into the very place where the decrees are to be made and confounding the people who make the decrees. That is the pshat when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks Mitoch Hasneh. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just stand aside from those who design against us, but he stands beside us to protect us. No. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha goes into these very corridors of power and thwarts their design. Uche'inyin she'omru, as indeed Chazal say, kol mokum she'yisroel golin shechino shom, wherever we are in exile, the shechino is with us. Velo yehei sober, don't be of the impression, says the Netziv, explaining the symbolism. Do not think that the Shechinah stands outside those corridors of power. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us from those decrees which emanate from those places. No. The Shechinah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence goes into those very corridors of power. And disturbs and distorts their designs according to his wish. And we have already explained, says the Netziv, in our commentary on Shir HaShirim, on the Pasuk Im Timtzu Estodim Atagidolo, says the Netziv, Sheheimo Ro'im Hashgachoso Yisporach Aleinu Yosernim. Truth of the matter is, says the Netziv, the Goyim see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha on our people more than we do. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is active in their corridors to prevent their design. Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim, shabachu kol ha'unim, kikovar oleinu. Why should all the nations pray and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hallelujah, Hashem kol goyim, shabachu kol ha'unim, ki govar oleinu chasdel. Because our God is Baruch Hu's chesed has prevailed on us. But they're going to declare a new holiday because the Jews are having a great time. Says the Netziv, Hallelujah, Hashem kol goyim, shabachu kol ha'unim. Because only the goyim know what they planned and what didn't come about. We only know of those plans which came into the open and Baruch Hashem we were saved. But for every plan that comes into the open and is thwarted, there are so many countless plans which the Goyim plan against us
and we have no hasoba. We have no idea what they are of. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's main work is mitoch hasneh, amongst the gezeros and the makers of those gezeros. V'hainu mishum she'ofanei hashgachoso nireis sham v'lo etzleinu. The real hashgacha protis, protecting the Jewish people, is not seen in our vicinity. It's seen in the corridors of power, where so many people plan the final solution, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha ensures that it does not come. This is Omed Barumo Shalolam, this is something very, very special. It's a hashgacha. It's something that we have to recognize. We have to recognize that the mitoch hasneh, every word in this particular inyan, every word is special and conveys a meaning. This is his interpretation. We'll leave it over here. We'll resume our deliberations and meet Hashem next week.